doing a sermon series that we have entitled Jesus Has a Say. Jesus Has a Say, because Jesus actually has a say. And if we consider him to be important in our lives, then we have to be willing to let him decide what is important in our lives, because he has a say, not only just in one area, but in all areas of our lives. And this morning, my friend Chikondi will be bringing us the word. So yeah, come on up. Chikondi, let's hear it for her. Yeah, let's pray for you. Jesus, thank you for my sister Chikondi, and I pray as she brings the word this morning, just for your Holy Spirit to engulf her, but also, God, I pray for us as we hear your word, that we would be more than willing to listen and to hear your voice. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning to everybody online. You've already been welcomed to the service, so I will not welcome you again. But we are going to head right into the word. As Humphrey said, my name is Chikondi, and I get the privilege and the honor of speaking about how Jesus has a final say over our fear. When Humphreys asked me to preach about fear, I thought, well, that's funny. I spend 95% of my life scared. But this is a story of fear and faith. And so we are going to just stand for the reading of the word, if you may. And then we will head into today's preaching. I have 25 minutes to do this before we can go and watch baptisms and eat. And I know you may be able to smell some of the meat, so don't worry. I will knock it out of the park in Jesus' name. The scripture that we are reading today is in Matthew 14 from verse 22 to 23. And it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let us pray. Father God, we just come before you today. We thank you for the ability to be in this place when we could be anywhere else. We come simply to meet with you and your word and hope and pray that the things that you speak may touch our open hearts. Holy One of God, we ask that your word may go forth and that you may do what you desire to do in the next 25 minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We may be seated. Church is very full today. I shall not speculate why, but I'm very glad to see it. If you know, you know. Amen. Amen. Okay, so firstly, thank you to Humphreys and the leadership team for giving me the opportunity to preach. When Humphrey spoke to me about preaching about fear, he simply asked that I be vulnerable and that I dare to just share my story and hope and pray that as I share my vulnerabilities, that we all leave this place a little bit strengthened and with a little bit more faith in Jesus' name. So there are three things that you need to know about me. But before I speak about those three things, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about me. Then we'll round back to the three things. Firstly, as I said, my name is Chikondi Kanyenda. I am 25 years old, very excited to be 26. I am the education lead at British Council. That's what I do for work. I also run three businesses, namely Chico K Hair and Beauty, which is a wig and beauty business. I run Dazzle by Chico K, which is a jewelry business. And also we're now doing CK Design Consultants, which looks at branding and graphic design for businesses locally and hopefully internationally too. I also run a Christian organization. It's called Celebrated by God. We opened it in 2015, and it was called She Stands Redeemed. It was a women's organization spanning 5 countries, and then the men got jealous, and then we had to invite them in. So now it's called Celebrated by God. I also do some events under a charity organization I run called We Give Initiative, and we use part of the business to make wigs for women who suffer from cancer and lose their hair at the oncology ward. Some of you have been to our events. And now we're looking at, we say we because me, myself, I, one board meeting, amen. We are now looking at a women's organization that we applied for. If anyone has read the book Lean In by the COO of Facebook, we got permission to open a Lean In circle here in Malawi, so we're gonna do that this year. I say all of that because I think a lot of the times people see me and think, you do so much, you must not fear, surely. Confidence is something you were born with. And the truth is, I share what I do because this is not a story about what greatness looks like. It is simply a story of what fear and faith and fear and faith looks like. And so I say there were 3 things you needed to know about me. And they will tell you a bit about me. And then we will move on. And there are some things you need to know about God. And then we'll go from there. So the 3 things you need to know about me is that firstly, if you find me on any given day, you will find me in either all black or most black. I love black, and it has become an obsession of mine to the detriment of my sister who said, honey, this is Africa, you may look like a Satanist, but I'm not afraid. I love black, and if black is what I love, then black is what I shall wear. And I will not add in Jesus' name to it. The next thing you need to know is that my closest friends have dubbed me the one side tuck queen. Case in point, if you meet me anyway, you will usually find my top tucked in on one side. Sometimes I do it because it infuriates my father, who then looks at me and says, is this what you kids of nowadays do? And I look and I smile and I say, no, just your daughter, daddy. And I walk out the door. If you're watching, I love you. And then the 3rd thing you need to know is that it also probably stems from my dad, who's a scientist, is that I love science. And when I was in 12th grade and I was learning about science, I came across this idea, this reality that they taught us. And this is called flight or fight. It is the body's response to danger. And it's actually also called an adrenaline rush. And so when I learned about it, I was so taken by the idea. I said, I have to go home and I need to tell my mom that when we meet danger, we can stay and fight or we can run to protect ourselves. And so I was running across the road and a car almost hit me. And I stopped and I closed my eyes and I said, please don't hit me. Please don't hit me. I need to get home. Please don't hit me. Now, you may agree with me that what was happening in this moment is that I was not trying at the age of 15 to stop and fight with this car. That is not what I was trying to do. But that at the same time, I was not running away from the danger of the car that was going to hit me. And that the driver got out the car and said a few words that I really can't say in public to me, and then got back in his car and drove off. It is that day that I realized that science will teach you the physical response to fear, but it will not teach you the emotional and the spiritual response to fear. There's something that happened in that moment when I was faced with danger that made me stall. And it was the first time, and at the age of 15, I was foolish enough to believe surely it was the last time, but it wasn't. I shared a little of what I do because I wanted to connect it with this. That stalling is something that I struggle with. that at work when my boss called me just when COVID hit and he said, Chico, I've got money and I need you to spend it. I said, boss, if you need a girl who can spend money real quick, I'm it. And he said, great. Your budget is £65,000 and you get to choose which teachers and school leaders we train where and how that will affect the education sector in Malawi. And I said, boss, I'm ready. And then I cut the phone, and for 2 days, I did absolutely nothing. I stalled. During COVID, again, I am a master at my hair business. If you know Chico K, you know it. But basically, God said, I need you to open another business. And this was a business I had no expertise in whatsoever. I like wearing jewelry. The semantics, if you're a business person, of now selling jewelry to an audience is something that is completely different. So I said, God, we don't have the money. Then the money somehow appeared. And then I said, okay, God, why can't I just buy hair? And he said, because I want you to start this business. And for 2 weeks, I sat on close to $1,000 in my account and never bought a thing. This is the girl who can spend money at the drop of a hat. I stalled again. When we were looking for a physical store for our businesses, last year we didn't find one, so we gave up. And then finally in December, January, we found the store. We had the clientele. We had people wanting us to have a physical location. And then it was opening day, and I woke up, and by 4 a.m. I was sitting in our storeroom. We had the stock that we were gonna put on display that day all over the floor. And my friend called me at 9 a.m. and she said, is the store open? And I said, I'm still at home. And she said, why? I said, I'm afraid people won't show up. I stalled. And she said, Chico, I'm tired of your nonsense. I need you to post on your status. You're going to be an hour late. I need you to take the stock. I need you to go to the store. And I need you to just let it happen. Stalling is a thing I struggle with. Stalling is a thing Peter struggled with. Stalling is when we look at the storm and fixate on fear so long we begin to sink. Abraham and Sarah, with no child in sight, looked at the storm and thought we better create our own solution. Martha, having sent a message to Jesus Christ, please come. I who serve you and support your ministry, Lazarus is sick and I don't want him to die. You've got the solution, Lord, and Jesus comes late. And what does she say? She says, you're late. Lazarus is already dead. She heard the storm roaring. When the people were mourning in her house, she thought, surely nothing can be done now. She looked at the storm and began to sink. We see Lot and his wife being ushered by angels of God out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's wife, she looks back and she stalls. For eternity, concentrating on the storm, she loses her mind and fails to move. Again, she begins to sink. We see Lot and his daughters stuck in a remote location, and the daughters thinking, how else will our father's name live? And they look at the storm and they form their own solutions. We see Moses and Aaron and Aaron and Moses. We see Moses saying to the burning bush and the presence of Jesus, God, you're calling me, but I am not of a good tongue. And we see Aaron knowing Moses has gone up to the mountain, he who sees and speaks to God for 40 days, and he hears the storm of the people saying, build us something to worship. And he begins to sink. We are so much like Peter and every example, because we are treading the waters while looking at Jesus and looking at our fears and looking at Jesus and looking at our fears. But we need to understand that fear is not a companion we need to keep when faith is an option. Not at all. Faith is the option that we are given. Because Peter on the water saw Jesus and he was standing on water and he looked at Jesus and he knew what was happening should not be able to happen according to science. But he saw Jesus and he looked at the storm and he said, God, I see you, but do you see this? I see you, but do you see the storm? I see you, but do you see the fact that I don't have a job? I see you, but do you see the fact that I need that money? I see you, God, but do you see the fact that the people who I loaned the money from are calling? God, I see you, but do you see this sickness? And God is saying, yes, I do, but if you call to me, I will save you. There is no place in Scripture where someone calls upon the name of the Lord and they are not saved. I am yet to see it. The Bible records places where God goes to cities that did not believe. But if one person dared to say, Jesus, help, Jesus, save me, they, because of their faith, were able to access the power of Jesus. So sometimes we fixate so much on our fears that we lose sight of the one who called us out on the water in the first place. Peter is recorded to be one of the ones who saw Jesus in the transfiguration. Peter is recorded to be in such tight kinship with Jesus that he was able to lean on the chest of Jesus man to man and not have it be awkward at all. He is the one who, when Jesus said, who do people say I am? He said, you are the Messiah. Peter is also the one who was with Jesus when Jesus was being captured and then was asked, wait a second, aren't you he who leans on Jesus' chest? He denied Jesus all three times. Peter is also the one who looked at Jesus on the water and walked on the water and is the only man till today, unless you are on a boat, to walk on water. And he still sank. He still got scared. Peter is also the one who was in the synagogue and preached a word because the Holy Spirit filled him and people were saved. I want to let you know that Jesus will not charge you penance for your fear. You can be fearful today and faithful tomorrow, and he will still come through in both seasons. He just asks that you may dare to call on him. So in all of these things, there are three things that you need to know about God. That one, he is not insulted by your fear or afraid of your fear. He sees it and he is not afraid of it. Two, that he will break protocol when you move in faith. Peter on the boat said, Jesus, if it is you, let me come to you. And God said, well, come on down. Three, that God is waiting for our mind to sit between knowledge and faith. And I will explain knowledge and faith this way. Yesterday, I was sitting with a young lady and we were speaking about faith, and she was saying she was looking for this scripture in the book of Hebrews. And she said, I love the scripture because I learned something about it. Now, before I head to the scripture, my mom, when I was a teenager, and a very naughty one at that, would say things about me. And so she could probably say, now Chikondi is naughty. That is a description of who I am. But if she looks at me like every mother does and says, now Chikondi, she means in this moment. And when you look at the scripture, the between now, faith is the substance of. There is no coma. And so God is saying now faith. Faith in this moment. Faith in this trial. Faith on the waters. Faith on the storms. Faith in the problems where I can't see a way out. Now faith. I'm believing in the things I don't see now. I'm believing in God's ability to come through now. I'm believing in God's ability to really move on my behalf now. I'm believing in God to deal with my insecurities and my fears in such a way in which I have my eyes on him now. It's not tomorrow or the next day. It says now faith. Now faith. And knowledge is something I've discovered very recently. I said in the first service, I love elderly women in the faith. And the reason I love them is not just for the biblical context that it says an elderly woman should teach the younger women in the way they should go, but that when I've been in women's ministry since 2015, and that when I've sat with younger women, we say things like, "Ah, let's pray. Oh, we believe God is going to do it. No, we'll be praying for you and God is going to be strengthening you. And oh, God is faithful." And if you speak to a praying mother or a praying grandmother, they will simply say, "God's going to do it." They will say, "Oh, hush, he'll come through." Praying mothers and grandmothers have learned the difference between faith and knowledge. Faith is when I don't see anything at all and I still believe and hope against hope. But knowledge is when I have seen God come through so many times in every storm, at every point in my life, that I know, that I know that he will not let me down on this one too. That I may not see the way, but I know the history and the rap sheet that he has and the clout that he comes with, not from other people, but because I have experienced it myself, so I know who God is. And anytime we are confronted by fear, God wants us to swing in pendulum against the two. I may not see it, but I have faith and I know from what I've seen before that it's gonna happen. And that is why God has a final say over our fear. Because he is waiting for us to realize that fear is a companion we do not have to keep around when faith is an option. And so I encourage us today, no matter what we're going through, to hold deeply onto faith. Not ignoring our fears or acting like they don't exist, but simply saying, "I know you're there. But you're gonna have to wait because I need to concentrate on something else." And what I'm concentrating on is sure like never before, he comes through each and every time. The disciples failed in doing miracles in the Bible. Jesus never did. And sometimes we have to be willing to take a chance on Jesus, endings be damned. Mom, I'm sorry. But we really do. We need to be able to say, if God was able to get on a cross, even before I promised to love him, even before I knew of him, even before I heard of him, he went through and he got on the cross and he died for me. And I said, I don't know if they will love me back or not, but I'll get on the cross and I'll die. Endings be damned. That maybe now we need to turn to Jesus and to say, I don't know what the end may look like, but I'm gonna bank on you anyway. If there's anywhere I can store my treasures, if there's anywhere I can put my faith, if there's anywhere I can put my fear, then I know that I know it's safe in your hands. Because I may not know what it looks like, but at least I know who it's with. And so there are three ways to let Jesus have a final say over our fear. The first is that we acknowledge our fear and identify what is causing it. When Peter got out of the boat, he looked at Jesus and he was walking on the water. And then when he looked at the storm, things then, you know. But we need to be able to acknowledge our fear and identify what is causing it. Then from there, we need to be able to see the storm and the God and the good in the storm. On my way here, when I was coming, I went to the scripture again, and ever since Humphrey spoke to me about preaching on this particular scripture, I thought, oh, you know, no problem. I've read it a couple of times, but I went again and I realized something, that when you read the scripture, it says that the day before, God was with the disciples and he was with the crowds, and so he sent the disciples out on the boat and he dismissed the crowd. And then it says the storm and the winds, they raged all night. Why? Because Jesus walked on water at dawn. So God actually left them in the storm overnight. And when he got on the water, it was dawn. It was now a new morning. And he walked on the water and he said, the disciples thought he was a ghost. What I realized through this scripture is that the only reason Peter was ever able to walk on water and be the only man to have ever done so in the history of time is because there was a storm. No storm, no need for Jesus' rescue, no history being made and Peter walking on the water, no Peter being reminded that he is the only disciple 2,000 or odd years later to have walked on water. We need to be able to see the storm and see the God and see the good in the storm. Because sometimes we go through things and they add meat to the bone of our story and our testimony. No storm, no Jesus on the water, no Peter walking on the water. There is good in the storm. My favorite saying is not why God, but what God. And I'm sure if Peter was on the boat and knew that today we would be speaking about him, he would have jumped out of the boat onto the water and said, "This is me," like creating history and walking in purpose. There is good in the storm. So what, God? Yes, it's hard, but what, God? What are you trying to teach me about me? What are you trying to say about my story? What are you trying to tell people? What are you trying to teach me? What, God, is it that you are trying to do in this season for me? The third thing is that we need to look back and remember who God is. The fact that we are sitting here today gives me hope that God has carried you through so many things. And things that look like they were big, and things that look like they were going to overtake you and your soul, and things that look like they were going to snuff out the light from your life, but God has kept us. And if we are ever fearful, we simply can look at God and say, "You know what? You have held me this far. Surely you will hold me again." As I close, I would like to remind us all that we are in need of God, deeply in need of God. And that is not a thing to be ashamed of or scared of, but that it's in our inner makings that our producer seeks that we acknowledge him. We are always in need of God, in deep need of God in our fears, in deep need of God when it doesn't work out, in deep need of God when it does work out and we're at the mountaintop. We are in deep need of God. And that when we are in deep need of him, we simply need to be willing to say, "God, because you are Lord over my life, take this. Take this fear, take what I'm going through and handle it." Because Jesus truly has a final say over everything we are, including our fears. Shall we pray? Father, we just come before you and we thank you for this word. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your goodness and your love and your mercy. You who has held us all these years until this very moment. You who is faithful again and again, and you never let us down. God, we thank you that if our fear is sitting in anyone's hands, that it is sitting in yours. That if our trials are sitting in anyone's hands, that they are sitting in yours. And that if our faith can be outsourced from anywhere, that it can be gotten from you and your word. So God, we just pray that you alone may take over. That in this moment there are fears that are running through our mind. We pray, God, that even as they come to the surface, we may surrender them to you. Because God, you tell us, God, that our fear doesn't stand a chance. And it truly doesn't. Because you are the one who gives us faith. You are the one who says now faith. And you are the one who strengthens us and keeps us in every season. So take our fears in this moment, and we know this is not the last time, but take our fears in every moment and have your way over them as our Lord and our Savior and our God. Amen.